and welcome to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Dr. Tamara Williams. She is Chief Clinical Officer for Community Behavioral Health at the City of Philadelphia, and Dr. Catherine Brackley L.O. Hagee. She is Manager for the Philadelphia System of Care, Department of Behavioral Health and Intellectual Disability Services for the City of Philadelphia again, and the Hi-Fi program. Let's start the conversation today with what is community behavioral health and what is the Department of Behavioral Health and Intellectual Disability Services here in the City of Philadelphia?
CBH, Community Behavioral Health, is actually a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we were created in 1997 to manage behavioral health services for individuals who are eligible for Medicaid within Philadelphia. And we are a division of the City of Philadelphia's Department of Behavioral Health and Intellectual Disability.
Dr. B, would you like to talk a little bit about the department and the various services that you offer? And this is an overview, and then we'll get into the individual programming.
Sure. So the Department of Behavioral Health and Intellectual Disability Services, DBHIDS, is committed to the health and well-being of all Philadelphians, children, youth, and families. And so that encompasses both treatment options, community-based treatment options, more intensive in-home and residential options as needed, which are managed under CBH with Dr. Williams and Camp, as well as prevention services, psychoeducational trainings, and screenings that really help to identify youth, families, and adults earlier on to see if we can get them that support as soon as possible.
So we're talking about mental health issues, behavioral issues, and then people who do have intellectual issues. Who are you working with?
I think it's important to note that CBH is really unique in terms of where we sit and what we do. We were created solely to serve the City of Philadelphia. And through CBH, we are able to manage a full spectrum of behavioral health services. So we cover children, adults and families, older adults. We have a provider network of over 160 in-network providers, and they offer substance use and mental health treatment in a full range of settings, everything from hospital settings to outpatient programs. And there are over 700,000 folks in Philadelphia who are eligible for Medicaid. And so we serve quite a large population. And as Dr. E mentioned, because of our affiliation with DBHIDS, we're really able to have providers who offer the full spectrum of wellness, as I like to say, from prevention and community outreach and early intervention to treatment, all the way through wellness maintenance.
How do you work with individual providers then? I mean, are you in partnership with hospitals and with the care providers? How do people get referred into your services? Because I'm seeing you as like an umbrella.
Essentially, anyone who has Medicaid and is a resident of Philadelphia can have CBH as their insurance for behavioral health benefits and care. And so, again, because of where we sit within the city and our relationship with DBHIDS, we have a number of partners that we work with on a regular basis. And we really can't do the work that we do without these partners. So because DBHIDS is a part of the city's infrastructure, we're very easily able to partner with county agencies that provide valuable services, such as the Office of Homeless Services, Department of Public Health. We also partner with the School District of Philadelphia, Philadelphia DHS, and we also have partners from juvenile justice, the juvenile justice system. And I think the nice thing about the relationship with DBHIDS is it allows for things, enables us to do things like outreach to faith-based organizations, as well as prevention and early intervention activities. And we really do consider our members and our providers as our partners as well. We employ at CBH youth and family peers, so folks who have lived experience with behavioral health. And we also have representatives from our provider network who are an integral part of the work we do and help us to serve the City of Philadelphia.
So now how do you enroll
We actually have, just like most managed care organizations, we have a phenomenal member services department. And so anyone who has CBH as their managed care organization can call our member services department if they're interested in being connected with mental health services. So that's how, that's sort of one of the ways that you can be connected to treatment.
Dr. Broccoliello Hagee, do you want to talk about what is the Philadelphia System of Care?
Philadelphia System of Care is an initiative that was started back in 2015 under a federal SAMHSA grant. And our work really looks at policies and programs that support authentic partnership with youth and families within mental health treatment. And so we really believe that the adage, you know, nothing for us without us, right? And that families know families best. And so our goal is to support programs and practices across the continuum of DBH IDS services, really to empower that family and youth voice at the table. And so we do that through a number of ways in the programs that we offer, including High Fidelity Wraparound, which was launched in 2015, as well as trainings for family peer support, you know, connecting members, family members that have that lived experience of their journey and pairing them with families that are currently going through and navigating the system, as well as even at our organizational and our governance level structures. We supported the launch of Philadelphia Family Voices, which is Philadelphia's first family-run organization that launched in 2017. We were very proud and pleased to support their launch. That organization is led directly by family members with lived experience.
Is that an advocacy group that has formed to help others navigate through or to discover more resources?
It serves as an advocacy group, a point of education and training for family members, as well as a warm handoff for referrals and resources within the community.
Can we talk about the need in Philadelphia? Dr. Williams, you alluded to justice. Are we talking about youth that are having issues in schools? Are we talking about youth that are in intake with the justice system in some fashion? Are we talking about families that are working with family services? What is the need here in Philadelphia that you are addressing?
Yeah, you know, the need is tremendous. As I mentioned, we have a large number of providers who provide all sorts of mental health services. And, you know, the service that they provide is critical and has been even more critical during COVID. And I really do think that we're just beginning to understand the total impact of the pandemic on child and adolescent mental health. And, you know, personally, don't think we'll know the full extent for some time. But, you know, during the entire pandemic, our mental health providers have been poised to stay flexible and to be able to help children and families in whatever ways they've needed. They've had to make adjustments to the ways that they deliver mental health treatment by increasing access, by offering telehealth services and so forth. Our providers are, again, also poised to be able to work with any families and any children who may have experienced an increase in any of their behavioral health needs during the pandemic. I think, you know, there are children who might be anxious about going back to school in person for a variety of reasons, and they're prepared to deal with that as well. I think there are a number of things that they will have to address once kids do return to school. Everything from just anxiety related to COVID itself and worry about getting sick to just, you know, not using their social skills for over a year and wondering what's it going to be like when they return to school and in some cases seeing their friends in person for the first time. I think one of the most striking comments that I heard from a teen who was interviewed about going back to school was that they really weren't sure that they knew how to make friends anymore. Our providers are really going to be working with students to help them get their sea legs, so to speak, when it comes to dusting off some of those social skills. And certainly, in addition to that, they will also be working with children and families who may have some, you know, fairly significant mental health challenges as well. And so I know that one of the areas that is of significance is related to trauma.
This has to be an unusual year as kids are returning, possibly briefly. Who knows what's going to happen now that we're talking about the new variants that are appearing. We've got kids that some haven't been in school at all. Children who are entering school for the first time, or maybe they had a delay entry, the social skills and the socialization that they missed out on.
Yeah, you know, I think some of the things that parents can do to help kids who may be struggling in some of those areas, the first thing is to really just talk to them, provide them with opportunities to talk openly about what some of their worries might be, reassuring them that there's going to be some missteps socially or that they might struggle even to get back into the academic groove, and that this is okay, that they're not alone because others are in the same boat. And, you know, I think the other important step in all of this is to prepare our kids to stay flexible. We've already seen some of the precautions have been significant and increased, and then they've decreased, and now they're increasing again. So I think the lesson in all of this is to prepare our kids to be flexible for change. Let them know ahead of time that it's possible that things might change again, that you're going to school with masks now, maybe that might be relaxed. Maybe it won't. Maybe there will be an increase in precautions going forward. But this will really help to minimize some of their disappointment or surprise if they do have to make some adjustments further down the road.
You have a lot of other resources and information that I'm not even asking you about right now, don't you?
One thing that I just wanted to make sure that folks knew about that has come out of DBH IDS, and it's called Boost Your Mood. And so this contains a number of wellness tips, COVID-19 resources, community supports, ways to address trauma and violence, and then also resources that are specific to children and families. And folks can find get access to these resources through healthymindsphilly.org/boost.
Is Philadelphia a unique bird when you are looking at all of the services that you have to offer? Because we are, again, a huge urban city. We have incredible disparity in wealth. We're a very poor city, and we're a very old city. And we've had great issues with violence. We've had a lot of issues that aren't seen everywhere. And are you facing different challenges than other cities are right now?
You know, I think Philadelphia is both alike and somewhat different than other comparable cities. I think we're alike in some of the challenges that we face being a metropolitan, being an urban area. But at the same time, we have some unique gems that are really unique to Philadelphia in terms of services that Philadelphians can access. And I think having an organization like DBH IDS and having an organization like CBH that is just for the city of Philadelphia and has the ability to partner on such a broad level really is unique, not just within Pennsylvania, but also nationally. And we're able to do the things that we're able to do because of that structure.
I talk to a lot of social agencies and governmental departments that address social health and mental health, et cetera, substance abuse and all of that. How do you address the problems that are unique to Philadelphia how have they evolved?
Well, I think some of the greatest needs that we've seen revolve around being able to provide supports and services for people who've experienced a variety of trauma. And then I think the other area where we try to provide significant supports is just working with families in a holistic way. And this is where the high fidelity wraparound comes in. So I can talk a little bit about some of the trauma work that our providers offer. And then I'll turn it over to Dr. Broccoli Elohegi to talk about the high fidelity wraparound. You know, in terms of the types of trauma that we see, some of it is not particular to Philadelphia, but, you know, there are different types of trauma that children may have experienced, particularly during the pandemic. And there are also types of trauma such as being a victim of or a witness to violence. And certainly during the pandemic, when more children were home and were also spending time in their communities, that may have increased the risk of exposure to things such as neighborhood violence or even domestic violence. The other area of trauma that is addressed by some of our mental health providers is related to the significant loss that is, of course, at the forefront during the pandemic when so many have died due to COVID. You know, there are lots of resources through both DBHIDS and CBH to address some of these traumas, in particular for traumas related to loss due to the pandemic, for example. It really is amazing that the current national estimates are that anywhere from 30 to 40,000 children have lost a parent due to COVID, and that those numbers increase when you include other primary caregivers or extended family. So that's a lot of loss. And, you know, death of a loved one can really be associated with some persistent bereavement and grief that can be quite prolonged and can have a significant impact on a child or an adolescent's ability to function in school, socially with their peers, as well as at home. Some of the things that parents want to look for as well to determine if there's a need for mental health consultation or treatment is, you know, if your child is having some difficulties accepting or marked difficulty accepting losses, they might start to avoid reminders of the loss. They might sometimes express immense sadness or emptiness or a lack of desire to engage. So if you see some of those things, you may want to reach out to CBH to get some professional support. And there are resources for children and their families who've experienced trauma and grief related to the loss of a loved one. So, for example, the Uplift Center for Grieving Children is an excellent resource. They help children grieving a death of a loved one to heal and to grow. And it also helps parents to understand how to support their child during the process. There are also a number of grief and loss resources on the Healthy Minds Philly website, which is an initiative of DBHIDS, and that offers a lot of resources on mental health awareness, events, where to call for help, and also how to screen yourself for things like depression. And that website is healthymindsphilly.org.
When we talk about trauma, going back to what I mentioned about the issues that Philadelphia faces, we are a poor city. And using the term ACE, throwing out another acronym there, I know that poverty, hunger, homelessness, all of those are traumas that can affect a child for the rest of their life. Is this leading into a discussion of high fidelity?
Yeah, I think that the bridge here is when we're talking about families who need more significant supports because of the complexity and significance of either their behavioral health needs and or social and economic needs. I think the treatment resources that CBH provides really focuses on treatment for mental health for individuals or for families. And then HIFI is a really unique approach that takes the whole family into consideration and is sort of a model and an approach by which the treatment can be delivered. Some of the things that you've mentioned, in addition to homelessness, some of our families and children are also exposed to other things that are related to trauma, particularly violent traumas. Another resource that's important for families to know about are that The city of Philadelphia has 17 provider agencies that are trained in an evidence-based trauma treatment. And this is part of a consortium, if you will, of providers called PACTS, P-A-C-T-S. And that stands for the Philadelphia Alliance for Child Trauma Services. And these are providers who are located throughout the Philadelphia area. They serve upwards of 1,500 children and families annually, and it's specifically around treatment for trauma. And parents can get more information about PACTS by going to philadelphiapacts.org. I think I'll turn it over to Dr. Brocliello Hagee to talk about high fidelity wraparound.
So HIFI, which is short for high fidelity wraparound, is an evidence-based practice for care coordination for children and families with intensive emotional and behavioral health conditions. HIFI is really designed for youth and families with long-standing mental health needs such as depression, mood disorders, significant behavioral health issues, who also may be involved in other youth systems such as child welfare and juvenile justice. These youth are at risk for being removed from their homes or communities, and HIFI is an approach to care coordination that helps them to remain in the community. How do we pull together the treatments and supports and the natural helpers to allow that youth and family to stay together healthy in the community? And so what we know from research literature and best practice is that these families and youth with complex needs require more services and hence more coordination. When we say coordination, we mean the process or how we bring together services and supports in a meaningful and effective way to get real results for these kiddos and families. So in order to do this in HIFI, we bring together a team of helpers, professionals, providers, those very important natural helpers, aunties, family friends, neighbors, ministers, anyone the family or youth identifies as an important person in the child's life. Because at the end of the day, they're the folks that are going to be there when the treatment ends. And so this team meets monthly to plan around the youth and family's goals. The family and youth identify their vision for the future. You know, what does that look like for them? What goals do they need to set to get to their destination? One way to think about HIFI, I'm going to use the analogy of navigation of ways. So if we think of engaging in mental health services and getting help as a journey, HIFI is the navigation system that helps youth and families get to their end destination. Within that journey, you know, we might come across different intersections or forks in the road where there's different options and families need to make some really important decisions. Other times, youth and families may hit roadblocks or challenges, setbacks that keep them from reaching their goals. So HIFI, as the navigation system, routinely brings the team together to brainstorm options, brainstorm paths and routes, so the family can decide the best path for themselves. And then the HIFI team breaks down these goals into action steps and plans for how to make it happen. Everyone on the HIFI team has a role and an action step, so it's a very supportive process. We have one plan and we're all on the same page and working to take steps forward together. A special feature of HIFI is that the program includes family and youth support partners directly on the team as part of the HIFI workforce. And these folks are caregivers and individuals with lived experience of traveling their own journey in children's mental health. And so the support partners are there to walk alongside folks, to provide hope and encouragement as they work towards their action steps and keep going to reach their goals. If you'd like, you can check us out on the web at psoc.dbhids.org. Or if you're interested and a family or youth feels they may be eligible, you can feel free to call CBH Member Services at 888-545-2600.
Who is eligible to receive HIFI help?
It is for youth with long-standing mental health issues, so pretty significant challenges that put them at risk for being removed from the house. So you know, youth that may have suicidal ideation or significant depression, you know, significant behavioral issues. And often these youth are involved in multiple systems. So involvement in child welfare, they might be in foster care or within the juvenile justice system. And we really, we utilize HIFI as a diversion from deeper involvement within those systems. So our goal is to keep them healthy and home in the community, rather than having them, removed from the community, removed from their families, where we know that's where they thrive and succeed the best.
So these are kids who've had a brush with the law, the school is involved, maybe they've been hospitalized or they've been in family service. What about the rest of the family? Do you address their needs as well in regards to housing, employment, et cetera?
It is a holistic program. We view the family holistically. And, you know, if there are needs identified with the caregiver's mental health or you know, actions that they need to take to fulfill mandates for child welfare or juvenile justice, that is part of our planning. We are looking at the family as a whole, where they've come from, where they've been. It really is a story of their journey, of their resiliency over time, and helping them to get where they want to be. Families and youth don't typically want to be involved in systems. So normally, you know, visions include being a family together, able to, you know, take dinners together, enjoy time with one another, maybe take a part-time job for a youth looking to apply to college. Typically, we're working to get back to the community and back to real life.
So the team consists of someone from HIFI itself, and then is it so? It's concerned family members or participating family members. Maybe it's a grandma or an aunt or somebody else. And this horse then drives compliance, doesn't it? Or the mandates that you spoke of, they're more likely to hit goals, appointments, any required reporting,
exactly.
Et cetera.
Exactly. So it's important that the family is being supported along this journey. And so if the aunt or the grandmother is able to support mom and encourage her in following through with an appointment or accessing what she needs, that we want to have them at the table. And that's going to be part of their role in the action plan. Okay, grandma, you're going to call mom and, you know, check in with her about, you know, X, Y, and Z. Or maybe it's a family friend and they're just going to plan to have a time where mom can let it out and share her her truths and express her feelings as a way of kind of releasing that energy and gaining support.
Does this include then the family services? Are they eligible for any other benefits, et cetera? How far do you go with this?
We have to have our basic needs covered before we can work towards, you know, further more relational issues. So if housing is an issue or food insecurity is an issue, somewhere on our plan is a referral, is a phone call, is a connection to, you know, to access those other social services. So HIFI does not provide that directly. However, we are very much linking and coordinating that care. That's part of one of their, you know, basic needs for health and wellness. And we want to help get them connected to the people that can meet that for them.
Dr. Williams alluded to that we have great programming here in Philadelphia. Is this something that's unusual or is this the wave of the future, what we're going to see?
Yeah, so this is very hands-on, very supportive. I can tell you that High Fidelity Wraparound is the only evidence-based model for intensive care coordination. So we've had rigorous studies across the nation that supports the effectiveness of HIFI. It is unique within Pennsylvania, as I mentioned before, that the team automatically includes those support partners as part of the team right away, right out the gate. And, you know, we're hopeful to see HIFI in this approach expand within Philadelphia.
Or throughout the state, I would hope, right?
Yes.
I would also add that one unique feature of Philadelphia's HIFI team is that it's actually implemented by clinical staff who are a part of the managed care organization, which I think is not as common. So we certainly have providers in the community implementing HIFI, but we also have our HIFI team that is unique to CBH. And so it allows us to reach our members using this wonderful evidence-based model by using clinical staff who are embedded within the behavioral health managed care organization.
We are so close on time here, but I would like to ask you about, do you want to talk just a little teeny bit about some of the other programming?
We offer a number of programs for families and youth to be involved, not just in the care for their child, but really the care of the community's children. So we have a family member committee through DBHIDS that meets every other week. And they're really a sounding board for us to understand what the community wants, what they're looking for, what their experiences have been. We also have a youth move chapter under Philadelphia System of Care. We provide an intensive leadership and advocacy training for youth. And we've also recently implemented youth fellowships so that we give these youth leaders an opportunity to be at the table and to partner on a project with one of our other city system units.
These are all preventative measures, aren't they? I mean, the city is trying to be proactive in programming to support the mental health and the livability of this place, you know.
It's preventative, and it's also it's very much partnership based, you know. So these programs and initiatives for treatment are rolling out in real time. We need to know how they're being received, you know, what tweaks need to be made within our system so that it can better support the families and youth in Philadelphia.
What would you like us to know about CBH, and what would you like us to know about DBHIDS?
I think that the most important thing to know about CBH is that it's an excellent resource. As I've said, it's just for Philadelphians, by Philadelphians, for Philadelphians who have Medicaid. Just want to reiterate the member services number because it is the best point of access. If you are seeking mental health treatment, 888-545-2600.
And Dr. B?
DBHIDS is here, and we're committed to the behavioral health and wellness of all Philadelphians. And so that's across our continuum of services, prevention, and early intervention. So we love the opportunity to have feedback from our youth and family members. And there's plenty of opportunities to do so within Philadelphia System of Care. And so if you visit the Philadelphia System of Care website, which is psoc.dbhids.org, you will see an interest form. And, you know, we would love to have folks join us in our planning. So feel free to check us out more on the web. And if you're interested, you know, let us know.
Ladies, thank you so much for being on today. My guest, Dr. Tamara Williams, Chief Clinical Officer for Community Behavioral Health. And you can find them at cbhphilly.org. And Dr. Catherine Broccoliello-Hagee, Manager of the Philadelphia System of Care, the Department of Behavioral Health and Intellectual Disability Services, DBHIDS for short, for the City of Philadelphia. Find them at psoc.bdhids.org for more information about the programming and HIFI. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.